Mike and Miana gather playing some game. But I pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B. Mike and Miana gather playing some game. But I pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the
Everybody, and welcome to the RHAP B&B for the preseason of Big Brother 22 All-Stars. My lips cannot seem to form those words that this is actually happening in the year 2020. You can say a lot about it, but it has brought us apparently Big Brother All-Stars for the first time in 14 years. Of course, I'm not alone here. Much as many dynamic duos or people from each other's paths are assumingly going to be entering the house come this Wednesday, I am here with the co-owner of the B&B as people are starting to check in, both house guests and otherwise, Liana Boris. Liana, how the hell did we get here?
This feels like a fever dream. And I'm pretty sure I said the exact same thing before Winners at War. But even more so for this, just because of all of the extenuating circumstances given the world right now and COVID-19 and the fact that then, this is the reason we're getting an All-Star season. Like, what weird logic had to play out for this to actually be the case? It's just all mind blowing.
Yeah, it almost feels like, and I can understand from a certain perspective, if you do want to produce a Big Brother season this year, you want to sort of bring in people that know the score, in a manner of speaking. But it almost seems to me like when you're a parent and your kid like had a really bad day and you're like, God, I could tell you've been through a lot. So you know what, Mary, we're going to go get some ice cream. My treat. Don't worry about dinner. This sort of feels like that, right?
Yeah, Big Brother All-Stars is the ice cream for the bad day of COVID-19.
Yeah, and I think the flavor is going to depend on what you feel about this prospective cast. But it is such a weird timing and reasoning behind it all. That being said, I was firmly in the camp before this announcement and before the rumors and rumblings came out a couple of months ago that we would never get another Big Brother All-Stars, just because you look at, you know, Big Brother 11, Big Brother 13, Big Brother 14, mm-hmm. Big Brother 18, Big Brother 19, all use some combination of returning players playing with new players. And so from that perspective, you're thinking like, well, it's clear from production's eyes, they don't feel like they have enough of a cast to fill out a complete All-Star season, on top of the fact that I just think due to the extreme length and circumstances that these seasons tend to go nowadays, I think some of the bigger names would not necessarily be up for it. That's a subject that certainly has maybe approached this season as well. So I was one of many that were shocked that what seemed to be a fan fiction, many a coin have been tossed into a wishing well from BB fans alike, wishing for an All-Star season since season 7, what some might consider one of the best BB seasons of all time. Lo and behold, Liana, we are staring down the barrel less than a week away from it actually becoming a reality.
That's right. Floaters, grab your pennies and throw them in the well, because here we are. The wish is paid off. Yeah. I think for me, when I thought of, if we were ever going to have an All-Star season, I always thought it was going to replace Celebrity Big Brother. So once we found out that Celebrity Big Brother was going to be gone, it was like, here's this kind of neat 3-week slot that they've already demonstrated that they can produce a Big Brother show in that time frame. This felt like this could be the perfect opportunity to have some of those big names back because of the reasons that you stated before. 99 days is a long freaking time. And to sequester people, both, you know, before and then like actually during the show for that long just takes its toll. And so that was where I thought we were going to get all our All-Star season. Certainly not under these circumstances, but I can also speak from like my personal experience being under sequester. We played Sequester because it was kind of one of those things where I was like, well, there's nothing else to do. So I do kind of wonder if there's a little bit of that in play that like some of these people are like, you know what? F it. Like there's a pandemic going on. Like, why not? I'll just go back in the house for this All-Star season.
Well, especially again, if we are taking production at face value, since the press releases have come out, you know, saying all the big stipulations they're putting in place to make sure everybody's healthy, to the point that, I mean, listen, Liana, we could fill an entire BNC segment and then some with just everything that has been going around in terms of theories and statements and tweets and ellipses heard around the world. It has been an absolutely wild time to be a Big Brother fan, and that is coming from a fandom that is extremely wild on a good day.
Yes, the speculation started normal, pretty normal, of like, oh, these are some rumors, you know, oh my gosh, it's going to be an all-star cast.
Right. Oh. And full disclosure, that sort of has also been a thing several years. You know, it almost feels like every year it's been like, oh, they're thinking of all-stars. And then inevitably, as the weeks turn, it'll be, no, it's going to be a new player cast, or they'll throw a few random people in. But yeah, this is one of the few times when, like, the panning for gold has produced some genuine nuggets.
And this ain't no fool's gold, neither. Well, we honestly don't even know. I mean, it could be. I think that's the craziest part about all of this, is that because the speculation started, I would say, relatively routinely, what we've seen in other seasons, but then just continued to escalate and escalate and escalate, really just adds to the whole fever dream of this whole situation. Because part of me is like, what if it's not even returning players? I don't know. What if it's Labrador Retrievers playing a game of Big Brother? Like, nothing may surprise me in this day and age, and especially some of the people that are rumored as of this moment to be part of the cast. I mean, I think that's part of just the cluster F of this whole situation.
I mean, we'll definitely talk about the cast, but you really got on a good idea with the Golden Retrievers. Here's what I'd like to suggest. I think that you play a season with a bunch of Golden Retrievers, and then, like, tied to their collar is a picture of a house guest who they're representing. You know, like, here's Dog Geesling.
I think that's called
Bonter Will.
I think that's Brant Steele.
I mean, yes. I personally love it. I think it's, look, dogs. Remember that one season of Feeds where it was just like, when stuff was down, they just showed dogs and kitties that sold over like gangbusters. And it's a good way to get big names in the house that might not necessarily want to devote themselves to the cause. You know, it could be an all winter season of Big Brother just represented through dogs.
Remember when Sam was a robot for the part of this season? We just did that twist, but yes, with dogs. Although I have been a long proponent of the, when someone is voted out, they are replaced by an animal of some sort. It could be a cat, a dog, a parrot, whatever. I think that would be absolutely hilarious.
That's an interesting sort of like risk reward thing, because I could see at least one house guest wanting to purposely asked to leave the game so that they don't have to take care of any more animals.
Like, I did not sign up for this. I do not like animals. I am out of here. Yeah, that would be a really funny reason for leaving the game. I don't know. Does that count? Does that count as a quit? Does that count as a medevac? Like, what if you're allergic?
Medevac? Oh, yeah, I guess if you're allergic, or like if you get attacked by one of them. Does that animal then get kicked out a la Willy Hands for like laying their paws on somebody?
I think in the Labrador Retriever version of Big Brother, yes, that would absolutely be the case. Like, no. German Shepherd Jason, get out of here.
German Shepherd Jason, please come to the diary room. The doggery room, I'm sorry.
Doggery room. Oh my god, that sounds like a really bad SNL sketch.
Yep, it certainly does.
Guys, I have a great idea.
Okay, dog brother.
Parody of Big Brother, but it's dog brother.
The name doesn't even make sense.
What would it be? What's like, do dogs, yeah, dogs have brothers.
Brother.
I was like, what's the dog version of a brother?
Oh, I was thinking earlier, like, I wonder if something could one up what do you call a group of baseball players? And I think we might have gotten close in the first 10 minutes of this podcast.
Oh no, this is any indication the season is gonna be insane over here at the BNB.
So yeah, here's the thing. At the moment, Liana and I are committed to doing weekly podcasts on the BNB. Look, there's not going to be much in the fall. I think another reason why this news comes as so surprising and exciting is because, you know, I think the landscape of reality television and television at large for 2020 is looking a little bleak. You know, we know that Survivor's not coming back anytime soon. Amazing Race has a season in the can, but I would not be surprised if the show does not film for a long, long time. So you really have to find little shows to subsist on, and to have a big helping of Big Brother, people were optimistic about it. So we are so happy to get it in any way, shape, or form. So starting this week, Liana and I are going to be back with some form of guests, whether it's previous B&B guests, some members of the fantastic RAJP class of 2020, some other randos. We'll come on every week to dissect this week of being a BB in a B&B fashion. And that's going to include the return of our preseason predictions as well. Liana, let's sort of make a promise here on air, because as we're going to get into, the cast has not and will not be revealed until premiere day. How about you and I both swear that we will lock in our predictions the day after that premiere, August 6th. We will write things up, seal them away, and then when people get evicted, we will then read them back, just so we're not having to speculate on a bunch of people that may or may not be in the season proper.
All right. So first of all, before I address the predictions situation, who are these randos you plan on bringing to the B&B? Is this like, yeah, this is my good neighbor, Scott. I figured he could come hang out for a bit. Although, to be fair, what if Scott is very entertaining?
Yeah, exactly. Listen, we're not going to turn away any sort of entertaining person. We're not going for super fans here. We might be going for recruits. I'm in sort of a casual mood, as we'll get into over the course of this podcast. So, you know what? New season, new group of guests here on the B&B.
There are no rules. If the preseason taught us anything, there are no rules to Big Brother.
Well, if the preseason taught us anything, we're going to announce an entire slate of guests and then like drop half of them and then add some random people that you thought you'd never hear from before.
And a couple dogs, perhaps.
Yeah, perhaps a couple dogs.
No, I mean, I think that's a fantastic idea. I think I'm loving the Hypothetically Speaking series that Rob is doing over on the main feed. I've gotten to participate in that. I know you're going to participate in that, and I think those are really fun. I think it's fun to have some content before we go into the season, but the predictions are actually a lot of work. I mean, not that those podcasts aren't, but like, I agree. I want to actually predict, because can you imagine just writing a prediction about someone who's never in the season? Like, what would we do then? Does that like substitute for whomever we think that they replace? Like,
who's the closest in proximity and personality type to that person?
Right, exactly. Like, let's say, I don't know. I mean, just like, who would replace a Janelle type, you know? Like, I'm sure we could come up with some replacements for some of these people, but yes, I agree.
Okay, so perfect. Well, let's get into this cast a little bit. And again, cast is in loose quotations. I'm glad you mentioned the Hypothetically Speaking series that Rob has done. If you haven't checked it out, I highly recommend it. It's a fantastic refresh of some people we may or may not be seeing on Wednesday night, but basically it's Rob, it's one of us in terms of it's like that season of The Challenge where they paired up like a veteran with a rookie. It's one of us paired with one of the people from the class of 2020. Liana did one, as she mentioned before. I know that most recently a guest on the Survivor B&B, Chantel Francis, was one of them. Plenty of people you'll be hearing from in the near future, but Rob sort of has like a list right now of prospective house guests for that season that we are going to sort of keep on our list as we review this again, prospective cast through some superlatives. We did this a couple of years ago with BB20. Here's how it's going to work. I'm going to give out a superlative, most likely to blank in the Big Brother house. And Leon and I are each going to offer up our own selections based on, again, this prospective cast as to who we think is going to fill that superlative the most or have the highest chance of doing so. Now, just so everyone knows the list that we are working with, this is the current hypothetical list of cast members that we are going to be using today. So we'll go in first name in alphabetical order. We have Amber from Big Brother 16. We have Bailey from Big Brother 20. Christmas from Big Brother 19. We have my brother Cody Calafiore from Big Brother 16. We have Davon Rogers from Big Brother 17 and 18. We have Danielle Donato from Big Brother 8 and 13. We have David Alexander from last season, Big Brother 21. We got the Meow Meow himself, Enzo Palumbo from Big Brother 12. We've got winner of Big Brother 14, Ian Terry. We have the aforementioned Janelle Pierzina from Big Brother 6, 7, and 14. What up, Kaser Rida from Big Brother 6 and All Stars? Keisha from Big Brother 10. That Kevin Campbell from Big Brother 11. Memphis, the runner-up from Big Brother 10. Nicole Anthony from last season BB21. Nicole Franzel from Big Brother 16 and winner of Big Brother 18. And finally, Tyler Crispin, the runner-up of Big Brother 20. Before we get into this, Liana, so, you know, this is a list of more than 16 names, and there might be surprises to come Wednesday. But looking at this list, if this were to be a pretty realistic cast for the upcoming season of Big Brother, what are your overall thoughts?
So when, you know, the cast started coming together, this wasn't sort of the first list that got leaked. People kind of slowly got added. Some people got removed. And when I look at this cast now, this is not the cast that I would have picked if I was casting a Big Brother season. But I'm not mad at it. Like, there's enough people that I'm like, oh my gosh, they got Keisha? I mean, assuming. Or like, why Cody? But also, I'm excited. There's a handful, Christmas, of people that I'm not super excited about. But like, Kevin, I loved Kevin. Mm. And I never would have had him on my radar, probably because I never thought that the Big Brother producers would ever have him on their radar. So the fact that he was someone that they may have chosen to bring back, it makes me confused and happy all at the same time.
Yeah, I will say, you know, again, we don't know in terms of casting. There's always rumors about, like, you know, people being contacted last minute, being brought in as alternates and then bumped up based on people testing positive, possibly. But especially looking at it from like a length, you know, going far back perspective, because we sort of talked about this with Winners at War, right? How maybe the show found it difficult, or it was difficult in general, to maybe get some winners from like that middle school era and that old school era, that they did not feel as properly represented as some very recent seasons of the show. You know, there was at one point when I think like four or five people from BB20 were rumored to be on at the same time, and I was worried we were going to go in that direction. Hell, even in the first Big Brother All-Stars had four people, nearly a third of their cast was from season six, and naturally they stuck together in the very beginning. So I was a bit worried about it, but I mean, we have two people from the original All-Stars. I'm particularly excited to see, you know, people representing that sort of middle era, like you said, like Keisha and Memphis and Kevin Campbell, and hell, like throw Enzo in there. Those are people I never thought that I would see back, but they're ones that, like, from a super fan perspective, are talked about so much. Mm-hmm. It just sort of was like its own like pie in the sky type of thing of like, that'd be interesting to see. They're not like, my God, I need to see these people back, you know, like you'd feel about maybe someone like a Tyler or Nicole Anthony, for instance. But it's nice to sort of have those things you didn't know you needed until you got them. And again, this is all perspective. But looking at this list in general, and yes, are there a couple of question marks? Absolutely. There are always going to be question marks when it comes to an All-Star season. So I am not blanching in particular, and especially given the circumstances. I know you said some people were fine, you know, settling down in a house for maybe 3 months. But I could also imagine at this time that certain people would be like, I'm not leaving my family right now. Mm-hmm. You know, the world is scary. Like, I don't want to isolate myself and submit myself for this game. So, you know, I can see the group that they got. And I will say on the whole, I'm interested at least to see what they're going to bring, whether it's a chance to repeat success, a second chance at the game, or maybe a way to improve or perhaps absolutely destroy your reputation.
It very much feels random to a certain extent. And I kind of like that feeling. Like, I never would have expected Kaser to be back and to play with Amber from BB16. But then I look at them and I think, like, no, like, maybe this could be really cool. Like, Amber is not going to have to worry with creepy Beast Mode Cowboy eating pickles for her. And, you know, Kaser is now going to really be, I think Taryn talked about this on the Hypothetically Speaking, but really have his true second chance at playing, sort of removed from everything, because BB6 really did roll into BB7. Because, like you mentioned, the cast being there and also just it being sequential. So anyway, you know, when I think about some of these players playing again, I'm just happy. I'm excited. I sometimes I look for reasons to complain, because complaining makes me feel good inside sometimes. But I'm happy. I'm excited.
Yeah, I think what also might like color my opinion of this is, you know, another big all-star season of reality television besides Winners at War came this year, and it was Top Chef, which did another all-star season, its own second all-star season. And I said at the moment that that seemed to be one of the most like random casts ever assembled. Like it had people from all the way back to season one, all the way up to the most recent season, but just like random placements all over the place. And it ended up being my favorite season of the show so far. So maybe I'm just like riding that high personally of like interest, like quirkily cast returnee player reality shows. But I'm hopeful to make it 3 for 3. I mean, your mileage may vary on Australian Survivor All-Stars, maybe 4 for 4 this year.
I think there was also a question, speaking of other reality TV shows, if we would ever see people that were on The Challenge back on one of their original shows. So the fact that we have Bailey and Davon here, I think shows that, you know, no rules, anything goes. But now also, because doesn't CBS, like Viacom, owns all of them? Because I know they just put up seasons of The Challenge on CBS All Access.
Yeah, so CBS, Viacom are officially, Viacom CBS is the name of the company now. They have officially merged. They sort of like got married and like hyphenated their names and joined and took them both. So they're now officially, I think, enveloping a lot. It could also be, again, because the landscape of TV is so desolate right now that CBS All Access is like, okay, let's just like pimp out as much old MTV content and say that it's new content just to like keep people subscribed. But yeah, I mean, it seems like Viacom and CBS have a tight enough relationship that I could imagine a lot of crossover between CBS, VH1, MTV, etc., Nickelodeon.
If they do ever bring Celebrity Big Brother back, I really just want a drag queen on Celebrity Big Brother.
I know. Well, they got Adore Delano on X on the Beach for a season. Like, the queens are slowly making their way onto other reality shows. Like, I'm here for it. I totally agree.
Exactly.
Well, let's get into these superlatives. This will be a way to, again, sort of break down this mishmash list of cast members that we currently have. So, we haven't gotten the spelling veto comp since the salad days of Shan Elizabeth, one of the greatest Big Brother players of all time, really beasting the competition. But Liana, who among this cast do you think is most likely to misspell a word while playing in the spelling veto competition? The Technotronics Memorial Award.
Okay, so I'm not gonna lie, I did talk a little bit with Puya about this, and I really only pulled one of his suggestions, and this is one of them, simply because once I asked him this question, he said, and I quote, "Well, it's got to be someone dumb. Memphis looks like a mouth breather, so my answer is Memphis."
Mouth breathing Memphis.
Yes, which I would love as a nickname. So my answer is going to be mouth breathing Memphis.
Yeah, I don't know why I thought that Memphis was like this big dumb meathead. I do not think he is whatsoever. I thought the thing was that he was a charmer, and we haven't gotten to his segment yet, but I thought it was more so that he was like a smooth talker, not like a Cro-Magnon.
Oh yeah, no. He was the womanizer. Like that was the whole thing about Memphis. Definitely not that he was an idiot, although he does kind of walk like that, like a little bit of the Sasquatch walk. But no, I don't think that was necessarily how it was portrayed.
So I'm going to go with, similar to Puya, I sort of had a thought about like, who on this cast seems kind of like the most doofy? And I had to look at the Meow Meow. I have to go with Enzo here, because I could imagine that Enzo is somebody who would just like throw up a bunch of letters and try to make a word out of it, Scrabble style.
Yeah, I could absolutely see that. Or maybe he would try to spell, like, if your nickname is Meow Meow, like, what if he tried to spell a sound?
Yes.
Like, someone who's spelled sounds in the past, it is very challenging, but I don't think that would count as a Scrabble word.
No, definitely not. I definitely think maybe that's the reason why they should bring back, you know, like Survivor claimed that they were bringing back classic challenges. Maybe they should do the same with Big Brother, just so we can have a chance at that back. So the Meow Meow can join the Hall of Fame with Technotronics and Kaltoru and whatever else is there.
Well, I don't know if you saw this, but I think this was an article that came out today. It was an interview with Alison Grodner. How do you say her name? There's always a debate.
Grodner.
Grodner. Okay, that's what I thought. On Entertainment Weekly, Dalton Ross, I'm pretty sure, does the interview. She's like, don't worry, the competitions will be big. Because I think some of the speculation was like, oh, well, if they can't make these like big sets, you know, because that's kind of been their MO in the past versus like Big Brother 2, where they're literally throwing CDs into like a bucket in the pool. I was like, oh, maybe they'll like bring that back and then they can bring back some of those other comps. I don't think that would be the case, but I would be all for it.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably shoot for something in between of like low budget but heady. Like, I'm always going to go back to the first HOH or the safety, whatever it was, from Big Brother Over the Top.
Which was safety chain.
Yeah, which was, I mean, I think it would not necessarily play in today's climate, but where one person had the bug and they had to pass the bug from one person to another until the last person was crowned HOH.
Yeah, and they had to wear those t-shirts that had the like bug symbol on them because it happened over the course of like a day and a half. So in order to know who like was, who got the bug, who got the pandemic, as it were.
And then listen, if they really want to hit the nail on the head, like they could reference it. You know how, wasn't 2 years ago the theme was like technology, last season was camp, this one could be pandemic.
Just really embrace it, you know, like that's how you overcome your fears. Just jump on in.
All right, well, let's move on here. So we can imagine, as Liana said, that a bunch of traditions from Big Brother will return proper. And that, of course, includes the Zing Bat.
Oh, I missed that. I missed that, Mike.
The Zing Bat.
Okay, not enough to hear it twice. Thank you very much.
So who do you think, Liana, is going to get the harshest burn from Zingbot besides my vocal cords?
Yeah, really. Okay, so I know that her burn in her season was based on her name. Okay, but I think now like Christmas could be a joke in the house, mainly because I'm just trying to manifest that, throwing my pennies in the well. So I'm really hoping that it's Christmas.
Well, watch out, she might slip on those pennies.
I mean,
listen, there's stuff outside of the Big Brother house that I think you can make fun of for Christmas, but I don't think they bring those into the Big Brother house, unfortunately.
That's too bad.
My was a little bit of like a Big Brother meets Final Destination thing, because I think one of the harshest burns in Zingbot history came involving one Cody Calafiore, where talked about essentially joking about the fact that he was cuddling with Christine, making reference to her then husband. And I think that Cody sort of missed out on a legitimate Zingbot burn, because that felt much more on Christine's end than Cody's end. So I think Cody's owed one, and I think that Zingbot's going to come back twice as powerful now.
Okay, so wait, I'm trying to remember the history, because didn't we do like a history of Zingbot
Zingbot timeline.
Yes, okay, because I'm trying to remember what shenanigans Zingbot had himself in when we...
Oh, this was when, this was during craps!
Oh, yes!
When Kathy Griffin came in.
Oh my god. So wait, did he have his kid yet at that point in time?
Yes, because I believe, because didn't Brittany yes. was there for Baby Zingbot when like Baby Zingbot got a heat stroke thanks to Nicole Franzel, assumingly, and passed out.
Yeah, right. Which, by the way, that has been one of my favorite parts of the preseason. Like, I don't remember who started. It was probably Andy, because he had that really great video with Nicole, like talking about Nicole Franzen. But like the memes of Nicole Franzen has destroyed, or Franzel, however you say her last name, has like destroyed Big Brother from the eons over time, has been amazing.
Yeah, I do love that. Like, listen, say what you want about the Big Brother community, but they will like take a joke and they will run it into the ground and then maybe into the mantle and perhaps then into the core of the earth. And ever since that one guy randomly said this video that Nicole Franzel had gotten several people kicked out of the cast by tattling on them, it has just turned into a nice mimetic way to take your mind off of maybe some of the other anxiety inducers from this preseason. So I agree. I am all in on it. Before we move on to more fun and games, we're going to take a quick break to listen to a word from our sponsors. And we are back, so let's keep on keeping on.
All right, so because I'm a weirdo, I keep all my notes from all the podcasts I've ever done. And I found my notes from the episode that we talked about, the Zingbot. So BB-12, Zingbot just gets introduced. Then he gets married. Then he has a baby.
Right.
Then it's baby Zingbot's birthday. Then BB-16 is, like you said, it's when he was like giving the props, right? He was being nice.
Yeah, and the challenge was to reboot him, and then after the competition, I believe, is when he then did the zings.
Exactly. Yes, he did his actual zings. So then he goes on innocuously, newly Zingle. But since then, it's been absolutely insane. He runs for president for all of got inappropriate zinging of an intern, embezzling zings, plagiarizing zings from another candidate's speech. Then he gets sent home to Planet Zing. Bot, which I don't quite understand. Then he comes back and he's got like a police force, and then he's in jail and he needs to be freed. So like, Zingbot's going to be back in some insane situation. So who knows what kind of like crazy things he will be talking about in BB22.
Well, so he's on the run right now, right? So like, I would not be surprised, honestly, if in Big Brother 22, Zingbot has committed murder. It's like, I know the challenge is like, wash Zingbot's blood off of his body so that the police won't find out.
Oh my God. That just reminds me of Breaking Bad. When he like has to dissolve the body and he accidentally does, I think Jesse does it. It's like one of the first episodes, like, accidentally does it in the tub and not in the plastic or something like that. I'm just like imagining that before the Big Brother competition.
You've got to cover up his body.
Hydrofluoride.
I can't go to jail again.
Where's Zingbot? I think just like it's mental health, Zingbot. We need to take care of
Zingbot. Zingbot, I think, needs to be retired and like put in an okay place, because I think trotting Zingbot out every year has really gotten him into some bad. Like, he used to have a family, and now he's like on the lamb. It's a galactic lamb.
That story. I'm looking forward to the Zingbot documentary released on Netflix soon.
Yeah, exactly. A deep dive into the Zingbot. All right, let's move on here. Let's talk about another Big Brother tradition. Who is most likely to rock a mandated costume? And I'm just going to buzz in here with probably the number one answer, Family Feud style. Nicole Franzel has to be wearing at least one costume this season, right?
I mean, I think it's she's legally required to wear another costume. So I did think of Nicole, obviously, because of her previous seasons. But Cody actually wore a dinosaur costume in his season and rocked it pretty well.
Do you remember that it was that week, right? Because that was the weird week when like Jeff proposed to Jordan, and then they did the reset, and people were legitimately concerned if Jeff had to propose to Jordan again. But but because Cody thought that he was done with the dinosaur costume, because technically I guess Big Brother 16 went back in time and just redid the week again, he still had to wear the dinosaur costume.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's when they pushed the button or whatever. So hopefully that won't happen to him on this season. Or if it's a sexy costume, for my sake, hopefully it will.
Well, I'm trying to think. I think actually a good amount of these people have worn costumes, right? Because I know like Daniel Donato, I think in BB8, wore a bunny costume. That's the one that Jen complained about, the matching white belts. I think Enzo had to wear a penguin costume.
Oh yeah.
Of course, we have the infamous Ian in the dog costume. Janelle and Keisha are both in the Arnold Shapiro era, which I think is pre-costumes. I'm trying to think about it. Memphis didn't have to wear a costume, but he had to wear an onion necklace.
Oh, I forgot about that. Bring back the onion necklace.
Yeah, and then of course Nicole Franzel had to be the bratwurst person, and she was also a frog, and then she had to wear the safety suit in Big Brother 18.
Yes, oh my gosh. The sausage one, I think, is probably the worst, mainly because she just had to like carry around the sausage thing as well.
At least she didn't have to do anything. Like, remember Alex Au? I mean, I don't like to remember Alex Au from Big Brother 19, but remember how when she like had to dress up like a camper and like make hot dogs for everybody?
And then Polly Calafiore, of course, had to bake pies that one time. I think Paul also had a punishment. Yeah.
Paul had to check to make sure the rooms were safe. And then, of course, Tommy Bracco with, I'm flying at the speed of smell.
That one was more painful for the feud watchers. so bad. Oh no. Oh my God. Mike, I'm like, you know, we haven't talked about Big Brother in a year, over a year, right? And I've talked about Survivor, I've talked about Drag Race, which Drag Race is pretty silly, but I like forget how incredibly stupid Big Brother is and why I love it so much. This is why, because it's so freaking stupid.
Well, let's stay on the noise bandwagon. Let's keep the decibels up. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like Josh Martinez is going to be on this season, but his spirit may live on. Liana, who is most likely in this cast to bang pots and pans?
This was probably the toughest one for me to answer because looking at the cast, none of these people particularly stand out as like, all right, I'm about to bang some pots and pans. The one person I decided to land on was Enzo. And I just kind of have a feeling like others will goat him into it. Like, it's not going to be his own decision. It's going to be very Josh-esque in that same way of like, okay, I'm going to poke and prod Enzo because I think that he's the type of person that would sort of fall for some of that goating.
That's an interesting idea. That's less so about like their own volition and more so, I guess, what happened with Josh proper, which was Paul being like, go grab the pots and pans. And then Josh ran with it and basically ran a marathon with it, considering it lasted an entire season. I am personally going to go with, I'm going to go with Kevin Campbell here. And hear me out, because one of the things I do remember about Kevin, and I do think Kevin is a very underrated player in this cast. He was one final HOH win away from winning the game. And I think out of, you know, Jesse's entire weird alliance, I think he was by far the best player out of all of them, considering he was able to save his ass multiple times and get him and Natalie into two of the final three. But what I will remember Kevin for doing was in those first weeks, he was pretty vocal. Like, I remember him getting into it with Brayden when Brayden was being awful and throwing out some racist slurs. I remember him getting into it with Ronnie, particularly because Kevin at that moment had like his arms in his shirt because I think it was so cold. And like he was nearly headbutting Ronnie, but not really. And it was the weirdest image ever. But from that perspective, like, I could imagine Kevin is somebody who maybe, to your point, like, is thinking, listen, I'm not going to get a chance to play again. I don't give any F's right now. I don't have a reputation going into this. I'll bang pots and pans. It doesn't matter to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, I could see that, especially if he's like on the outs early potentially or something like that, and like isn't able to really get his footing. He's like, you know what? I'm just going to cause some chaos, and this is the best way I can think to do that.
All right, here's an interesting one, because some of these people, I would actually say the majority of these people, Liana, have either been jurors or have been sitting in the final two. My question to you, Liana, who's the most likely to be a bitter juror out of this prospective cast?
Okay, so I know that Danny Donato was friends with Portia when she voted for her.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think, and what I was remembered from listening to the podcast,
what I was remembered
is that she really likes to work with the people who are her friends. And if you're not her friend, then it's Dunzo. So I feel
Dunzo got
like
cut. Enzo's playing this season.
Oh, it's his clown twin, Dunzo the clown, and he's gonna come in this season as a twist. It's a twin twist, obviously. It's gonna be hard though, because one's a clown and one's not a clown, and so like the nose,
yeah,
like thing,
like,
is gonna
Enzo,
away.
Your hair looks much more rainbowy and your shoes have gotten much larger since you stepped into the DR.
Enzo, did you just squirt water on me?
Just me, the meow meow.
Okay, anyway, so Dunzo and Enzo the twin. What was I going? Oh yes, okay, so Danny Donato is the person who I think is going to be the most bitter juror, most likely to be the bitter juror, because of her propensity to really only associate with the people that she's friends with.
Yeah, Danny Donato is a really interesting case here, because the first time she played, I think she was 20, turned 21 in the house. At that point, I believe she was the youngest person to ever play Big Brother. And when she made the final two, I think, partially due to her perception and partially due to the way that she behaved, she was very much looked at as like the spoiled daughter, you know, who sort of was helped by the fact that she was playing alongside her dad. And so that didn't really help her. Big Brother 13 comes along 5 years later. You know, she's still only in her mid-20s, but I think she has a better head about her. But maybe to your point, she has a proclivity to not necessarily vote the most strategically. Now we're jumping ahead almost 10 years with Danny Donato. She's married. She has a kid. I wonder how much of that like youthful impetuousness is going to be gone now. Whether that means, you know, I haven't listened to her her segment yet on Rob's show, but like whether that fire in her to start up argument is going to be gone, or that feistiness to be like, yeah, screw the vets, we're going to turn on them, if that's still going to be there, considering how much has happened in her life between seasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think yes, of course, you know, there's been a lot of time since then. And then this is another thing that was discussed on the podcast. It was like, well, her dad has always been involved in some capacity with the seasons that she's been on, either throughout the whole way through Big Brother 8, or at least at the beginning in Big Brother 13. And this is kind of the first time. It's almost a little bit Pacer-esque in the sense that, like, this is a true second chance, it feels like, especially because it's so many years down the road. So it's going to be so interesting to see the type of person that we see. We're going to get a good old Danny, but I think there's going to be maturity that happens there as well.
All right, let me throw out one here as a prospective bitter juror. So Keisha, I remember as someone who, similar to Danny, I think was not afraid to get into conflict. And I do think one of the reasons why she votes for Dan in the end above Memphis is that she felt extremely burned by the Renegades getting rid of her at the Final Four instead of Jerry, especially Memphis. You know, she keeps Memphis in the game. She was previously working with Libra and April, and then April decides on her HOH reign to go after Memphis, and that's when Keisha turns on her, and then that big schism develops that really affects the rest of the season. So personally, I would not be surprised if we face another situation where somebody slights Keisha, Keisha goes to the jury and decides not to vote for them.
There's some super fascinating connections, like if this truly happens. And so is she, one, still gonna like hold grudges against, but then, like you said, is there gonna be a new inciting incident that may cause this type of feeling? I think that's definitely something we could see.
All right, let's move on here. In honor of the insert adjective here, Matt Kleins from Big Brother 19, who is most likely to just sit there all fall and eat cereal? Cereo.
Cereo.
Oh no! Is that the triplet with Enzo and Dunzo?
Yes, it's Enzo, Dunzo, and Cereo. It's the triplet twist.
My God, the Palumbo triplets—they're making their way in the Big Brother house. We said with house guests, we said we make the season bigger, so it's not just a twin twist; it's a triplet twist.
What does Cereo do for a living?
Cereo, I imagine, is like one of those 18th century musketeers.
Like a reenactor?
No, like I just imagine a man with like a swashbuckling sword and a big mustache and plumed hat.
But is this like a Big Brother Goes Back in Time type deal?
No, yeah, I just like, think, yeah, he's a man who just like is out of time.
Oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
It's I, Cereo. How about thee?
Orc the plank, arg. He's a pirate, yes or no? Is that?
No, he's not a pirate.
Oh, okay.
The Three Musketeers weren't pirates.
I don't know. You said swashbuckler, and that just got me thinking pirate.
Yeah, I guess that does sort of inform the swashing and buckling is usually done with pirates. All right. Cereal. Who's most likely to eat cereal here? And here's the thing. I, like many people, loved Kacer in Big Brother 6 and 7. But I think there's a non-zero chance that due to the fact that A, he really doesn't know anybody, and B, the game nowadays and the characters nowadays are just so in your face and out of control that my guy just sits there for the majority of the summer just being chill and waiting for that moment that, like the FBI shirts and hats he's prone to wear, he'll slip in for a surprise attack.
That was my answer, too. Yeah, that was actually the first one that I answered. I was like, this just fits him. Something, I don't know, like maybe because he's a dad now. So like, get like big dad energy, you know, he's just going to like sit there and eat cereal. Kacer was absolutely my answer.
Do you have another one in mind?
My other thought was Memphis, because again, like I was going for resemblance. I really need to rewatch BB10 and like remember.
Yeah, apparently
Memphis.
You have a weird image of Memphis. Well, the other option that I had was actually not too far from Kacer, because I know this was talked about in the Janelle segment, particularly from Terrence's perspective, as to like what a BB22 Janelle looks like. And I'm not sure, because essentially she is sort of like, I don't know, she is sort of like the Boston Rob of Big Brother in a way, in that maybe the boss of Rob for like the first three seasons, that she played such a large presence and really is like a big character that nearly makes it far every time. And I don't know if she's going to play like Boss and Rob did in Winners at War, which was like a pretty big character. I could imagine her instead just like continually shrinking into the background for some time, being like, as long as nobody's targeting me, I'm fine getting rid of whoever. And then eventually, if I need to try to win these competitions, I'm going to try my darndest.
Just hanging out in the corner, eating cereal with Kaser and the triplets, just being like, guys, as long as it's not me.
Yeah, exactly. It's a growing breakfast nook, but I can imagine they built it into the house for the season.
I mean, they need it, obviously.
All right, next up here, let's go into the diary room. Who is most likely to be our diary room yeller? It's Enzo. It's Enzo. It's Enzo.
Yeah, it's Enzo. The other answer that I was thinking of, but this is, you know, the yell in the DR we save for the people like Chef Joe, who like aggressively yell at you in a very uncomfortable way. But if you consider yelling in the DR in like a fun way, then it would be Davon, because I think like she just gives such great confessionals. I mean, there's a reason why they used her so frequently on the challenge for all of those confessionals. And she does speak louder, but in like a fun way, like not a Chef Joe way. I want to make that point abundantly clear.
Yeah, I would say that I think Davon, from a DR perspective, is going to be the most game for what the producers throw at her. And subsequently, I think they're going to be the most game to like work with her. You know, because I think that from working in the challenge, like you said, she's almost now made a career out of commentating on things. And so I could imagine a situation where, like, I know situations have been brought up in the past of like, oh, you know, production fend me this line to say. I could legit see Davon like working with production to script out things to say in the diary room together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that too. And I think that that's maybe why she's so good at it, is because she can take sort of the input, but then really make it her own. Because, I mean, you see her out of the DRs and she's just as funny. She's just as entertaining. So, you know, that like, okay, yeah, maybe production is quote unquote scripting some of them for her. But I think she really plays ball, plays the game. She's on a team of players that all make the confessionals, but she delivers them flawlessly.
Because she is Big Sister.
Oh my god, I forgot about that.
Do you remember when during Big Brother 18, when the first like 12 episodes always started out with the unicorns?
Yes, each of the teams, and they'd like go through and say their names. Yes, I unfortunately do remember that.
Yeah, it's something that's gonna be burned in every Big Brother fan's head, including the number that remains. Like, it's just things you will never forget, and you're stuck in your gray matter.
Oh man, yeah, because didn't they each, like, when they were saying we are Big Sister, they like all said one word, yeah, right? Like they're doing some sort of like improv exercise or something. Yes, loved it.
Yeah, exactly. And I was trying to remember, there was the Freakazoids, there was Team Unicorn, and then I can't remember the fourth team name.
We are Big Sister, and then yeah, what was the other one? Apparently it wasn't
sort of like the Ringo of teams.
Oh, that's so mean. Oh, Category 4.
Oh god, yeah, I think that was Frank's team name,
Frank's,
maybe?
Yeah, it was Frank, Michelle, Polly, and Bridget.
Hey, we're Category 4, because we're a storm.
We need our clouds. No.
What?
He's like, I need my meat.
Your boy needs his clouds.
You get that condensation.
Yeah, it doesn't sound as masculine when you're saying your boy needs his clouds.
That just sounds like he gets frequently sunburnt, and he's
or vaping.
I love that too.
All right, let's move on here, but let's stay in the DR. Liana, who do you think is most likely to cry in the diary room this season? The first person to do so.
Okay, I wrote Nicole parentheses either. I don't know why.
For some reason, like the first one I thought of personally was Nicole Anthony. Maybe it's because, like, I don't know, I'm hoping the best but fearing the worst with Nicole Anthony, especially coming in as a fan favorite. I just really don't want her to get to face the same treatment she did of like getting shunned again by the quote unquote cool kids. But like, I hope there's not a scenario where like now she has to get super emotional early on about like how on the out she is again.
No, that is my concern for her as well, is that especially because there's, you know, so many pre-existing relationships within the other members of the cast, in part because, well, either they played together or just because they've been in these BB streets for so long, you know. I think it's good that David hopefully is there as well. And so at least they'll be like someone else, but hopefully they'll be able to use that to their advantage. Be like, look, you know, pull us in. We're numbers. Use us. We'll work with you. All that jazz.
Yeah, hopefully it's not going to turn into, like, again, what Kacer tried to do in Big Brother All-Stars, which was like, hey, season 6 is targeting Chilltown. We don't need to do that. Like, lions and hyenas, let's go after these floaters. Let's go after a Nokomis or a Diane, you know, people, or a Marcellus, people who are not necessarily going to be with us. Because, yeah, it's really going to, it'll be interesting. Because, again, if this casting sticks, the previous relationships are just, it's a weird little spider web. I guess the other one I was thinking of was possibly Tyler, because I guess much like sort of Danielle, this will be the first time he's not playing the game with Angela, even though they found love in the BB house. Like, there could be a thing where he legitimately feels pressured and like will not have that person to turn to.
Okay, I'm sure they're not going to do this, like bring in celebrity guests because of the whole situation. But like BB Rexha shows up, starts playing some of her songs. Tyler starts crying. He's like, this is where I found my love. And that's where we get the crying.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think BB Rexha, they put her in, like, I don't know, a hazmat suit and have her sing?
Send her out in a sealed Zingbot costume.
She has to sing like Zingbot?
Oh, that would be horrible.
If it's meant to be!
Oh, no. Do you think they'll do Zingbot? It'll probably just be someone from production that's, like, been quarantined with them that they'll, like, send in there. Yeah, okay. All right.
Well, it's usually someone from production anyway. Maybe they'll get that. Okay. I wonder if that one guy who's, you know, he was the annoying alien and he was the grandma and he was the yelling guy. Do you think he's going to get quarantined?
I hope so. I will start a GoFundMe to help pay for his hotel room for 14 days so that he can come into the season.
All right, let's get a change.org petition going. Get Big Dick Johnson on BB22.
Write it up. I'm signing it.
Yeah, it's a good thing to think about because, yeah, he would have to be quarantined to be able to be on the season.
Exactly. Especially if they're going to send him in there, you know? So, yeah, absolutely. But he needs to be, he's like become a staple.
All right. Final superlative here, Liana. And I initially put like, oh, who's most likely to appear on a CBS soap? But I was looking through it. There's actually like a slideshow that CBS put up and a good amount of them have actually already been on CBS soaps. Like Cody was on one. I think Amber was on one at one point. You know, Janelle, I think, was on 2 and a Half Men. Tyler was on. So like a good amount of these people have already been on. So, Liana, who is most likely to appear on another CBS game show or reality show in the near future?
What are we talking? We talking Candy Crush? We talking
It could be anything from like those, you know, short-lived game shows to larger game shows to like I'm going to go on to The Amazing Race.
Ooh, I think.
Or Love Island.
Oh my God. Love Island. I didn't even think about that as an option. I was going to say the first person that stood out to me, well, I like just, oh, David. David.
I could see David go on to like a Love Island. Absolutely.
Yes. He's so attractive. And he would be, I mean, I have no concept of if he would be perfect for Love Island. But in my opinion, I think he would be great.
Talk to me about your thoughts on, because again, in a sort of a weird cast, I think David sticks out the most in that he technically was not even voted out. He was eliminated first. He did, due to camp comeback, last in the house for an entire month. And I think maybe that's what caught a lot of people's eyes to wanting to see him get a legitimate second chance. What do you think about his second chance through the venue of Big Brother All-Stars?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is interesting. I think, you know, based on also some of the other people, he's been the, oh, it's Big Brother some stars, not Big Brother all stars. But you know what? I think he had a lot of promise. And I think being able to see him, like you said, throughout those 4 weeks that he was just chilling in camp comeback, I think he showed that he's got a lot to prove. And I want to trust casting. You know what? They brought back Kelly Wentworth. Probably not the same people, but I don't care. I'm going to treat them all in the same.
Just one like, ubiquitous blob of casting on CBS.
The blob that is CBS casting. And just, you know what? I'm going to trust their gut. Because like Kellen, their gut is sometimes right, probably, I'm sure. And let's take, why not? Let's take a chance with David.
Exactly. Like, it's a thing of like, listen, if you're going to have one less spot or you're going to bring on David, and if you, people wanted to see David on another season anyway, sure, give him another chance. Just don't give another BS, you know, day one elimination twist and David will be happy. Like, he'll be fine just lasting an entire week in the Big Brother house.
Oh my gosh. Could you imagine? They go through this whole process, multiple COVID tests, quarantining, yada, 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 for there to be a night one elimination. Like, that would be insane.
That would be ridiculous. I feel like if they walked in with a surplus of house guests, if they walked in with like 18 house guests, I could see that to be like, All Stars isn't playing games here. We're taking things seriously. So one of you is going home right now. But who likes those? Nobody on Earth or on Planet Zing likes those day one eliminations, especially in an All Star season when you'd think the show would be like, oh, we're excited to see people back, and one of them's gone.
Like, literally no one. Because even if you're just a super casual watcher of the show, I feel like still you're just like, oh, I'm just like getting to know these people. Have something else exciting happen. Someone doesn't have to go home. It's just such a gut punch. I feel like it's just so incredibly rude. How rude.
Yeah. I mean, at least the past two times, you know, with Cameron and with David and with Glenn, actually, they were given opportunities to come back. But I guess due to that as well, you know, I think a lot of people also spoke about the fact that with the inability to sequester people after they're voted out, there's a significantly reduced chance that they would do some sort of battle back system, at least in the pre-jury, which means hopefully they don't feel like they have the right to do, you know, a day one eviction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I just think that the technical aspects of it would be probably challenging. And so I hope we just, I don't know, well, whatever. Who knows?
Yeah. My hope is that they didn't institute, much like you could see that they sort of instituted Edge of Extinction in Survivor 38 to bring it back for Survivor 40. I hope they didn't come back in last season to trot it out again this season.
Oh my gosh, could you imagine? What if they were planning on doing an all-star season all along for BB22? And that was their whole logic, was like, okay, well, let's wait one more season. We're going to try out this whole camp comeback thing. So that way your faves aren't voted out and they can actually stay for a whole month. That would be, oh my God, Mike, I think it's real. I think you cracked the code.
To be fair, this year is the 20th anniversary of Big Brother. You know, it's a lot of these reality shows like to do special seasons in honor of certain milestones.
Oh my God. Mike, add fuel to the fire that is the Big Brother preseason. Let's get out there on those streets and start pushing this, because I love this theory.
We'll attach it as a writer to our Bring Big Dick Johnson into Big Brother 22 petition.
It's worth it. It's worth it.
All right. Well, I'll give one more suggestion here for appearing on another CBS game show or reality show, because this, I think, is like the one person we really haven't talked about that much. And it's the other winner who's going to be on this season. I could see if this is sort of like a gateway for Ian Terry back into the spotlight. I could see him appearing on like another rando reality show. Like, I'm pretty sure he was on the Big Brother Price is Right as well. So he's not like, it's not beneath him to do these things, despite how cerebral he is.
Okay. Like Flavor of Love, but it's Ian of no Backgammon of Love, and Ian is in a house. They'll do the same thing, right? Because we're a sequester mall. Put them in Flavor of Love's Flavor Flav's old house, although that's probably been burnt down, or at least I hope.
Flavor Flav's old house.
I hope it's been burned down since.
I'm assuming it's foreclosed or something.
Probably. Yeah, I think that like he would be this charming, like, oh, it's Ian.
I could see Ian as like the Bachelor, especially like when he does, if he's wearing his like finale getup, you know, when he had a bit of like that nerd glow up. I could imagine.
Beauty and the Geek. Did you watch Beauty and the Geek?
Oh, yeah. I watched a couple seasons of that.
My gosh. I loved that show so much. Is that, I don't know, maybe Ian has had a glow up since. I honestly haven't really kept track of him. But if not, that could be, or he hosts it. He hosts Beauty and the Geek.
Ooh, I'd be like, I'm living proof that a geek can turn into a beauty. Now it's your turn.
Exactly.
So I don't know. I feel like Beauty and the Geek nowadays would be full of a lot of like incels on the men's side, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's true. It would be uncomfortable.
Well, Leon, is there anything else you want to say about this cast proper before we move into maybe some other people's opinions about the idea of All Stars?
No, I don't think so. I'm just ready for this whole thing to start. It's been a lot of speculation and I want to just sink my teeth in.
Yeah, it's going to be a nice little bite of something, hopefully not of slop. But that's a question as well that I know people were speculating about. What do you think, Liana? You think we're getting slop this season?
Ooh, that's a good question. I kind of just always assumed it was going to be there. It's kind of, you know, death, taxes, and slop, I believe is what they say. But for the All-Stars, possibly not. Also because, I don't know, I guess we're going to be sequestered together. I was like, can they eat out of a pot together? And then I realized how dumb that question was as it was forming in my head.
Well, I think the thing that I'm personally thinking of is last season, there was some controversy, you know, around Jackson possibly Mickey. Breaking the have-not rules. And as a result, like, there was a little bit of suspicious timing where, like, after all that happened, have-not rules were suspended for the rest of the season. I think they only did, like, 3-4 weeks of have-nots in general. So I wonder if they're going to try to, like, poke that bear again. That's another one that, in addition to night one evictions, that I'm just, like, over. Like, I'm fine getting rid of slop.
Should they bring back peanut butter and jelly?
No, I think what they can do is instead do, like, if they have to do something, because that's the thing, too. Like, they're not doing have-not competitions anymore. They're not doing food competitions anymore. It's been replaced by your roadkill, your den of temptation, your whacktivity.
I can't
keep a straight face while saying that name. But they've had, like, those Sunday night competitions that the past couple seasons, it's pretty much just been determined by the head of household. So, like, I just don't feel like it needs to be there at all. Just have people eat what they want to eat. It might make people more irritable, but more often than not, it makes them just very lethargic and therefore less likely to stir up anything.
No, I think it's very much like the vestigial limb of Big Brother, right? Like, at one point, it served a purpose and we liked it. But now, you know what? We've evolved past that and we probably don't need it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, again, maybe if they're feeling like, okay, it's a shortened season, it's a smaller cast, we're scaling things back, maybe we don't necessarily need slop. Or they could veer into a completely other territory, say, this is All-Stars, they gotta do slop. Or take a third option, because I don't know if you remember, Liana, but slop was first introduced in Big Brother 7, because they were like, these are All-Stars, they're not just going to be eating PB&J, we're introducing something new. God only knows what they could bring about to the table that's going to be, like, more detrimental to these people than slop.
Yeah, I really don't want to know. Okay, so we talked about our opinions, and like Mike alluded to, let's talk about some other people's opinions, and those people specifically are our favorite casuals.
Yes.
Yes, over there on Casuals Corner. So what I did is I went to the, I was going to say Survivor Facebook page. No, I went to the Big Brother Facebook page, where there was, at the time I looked, one post. Just one post announcing Big Brother 22.
Wow.
And there were 37,000 comments. Oh my God.
I guess you get them concentrated in one post.
Exactly. Needless to say, I did not read them all, although not for lack of trying. It's because the Facebook page crashed on me when I got to around like 5,000, and then it just gave up. Now, to be fair, it's a lot of like, yes, or can't wait. So some of those I had to cut out, but I think I found a really solid group of comments for us to talk about. So Mike, the way this is going to work is I'm going to have you play a game here where I'm going to give you a multiple choice question where I'm going to read four statements or four comments from the casuals page, but one of them I wrote, three are real. So it's up to you to guess which of the ones I wrote. Okay, do you have any questions before we begin?
I'm just intrigued in general, because again, as we talked about, All-Stars is something that the super fandom has been wanting for years. Are the casuals similarly excited? Because I also have seen some people, I think, genuinely and, you know, respectfully speak up and, like, don't do that at this time, you know?
Yeah, I would say more often than not, it was excitement for a returning player season, although there were a good number of people that were like, this is like, either don't bring back returning players at all, because we want new people to play, which is something that we see on the Survivor page all the time. But less like, oh, we don't want a Big Brother season 2 happen at all. People who were in, or at least those that were commenting, were just in general, like, had an opinion on it happening at all.
Well, that's good. As long as we're on the same page going into this season, I think our opinions are going to wildly diverge in T minus like 4 or 5 days or so. But for now, we can remember these good times.
I mean, also remember the range of information potentially available to the people commenting on this page. I mean, or anyone in general, is like, they only saw the post that Big Brother is coming back August 5th, all the way till in the streets with us on, you know, look, getting all of the rumors and all of those things as well. So there's really a wide range of comments, although it definitely skews towards one side versus the other. I'm sure you can guess which one that is. But I think we'll get into some of the thoughts that the casuals are having and really see where their feet or their clown shoes are at the beginning of this season.
Yeah, I wonder if Enzo's brothers have chimed in at all.
I mean, again, still waiting for the triplet twist. Really can't wait. Okay, let's start with the first question. And these are all about cast speculation. So much like we are speculating, the casuals are speculating as well. A. Eek! Can't wait! Caitlin, Kevin, Sean, Steven?
Wait, okay, all right. Well, can we just pause for that 1 second? First, why did they sound like they saw the mouse from Big Brother 16 with that onomatopoeia?
I don't know. That's just the sound they make when they're excited.
Okay, so the names they listed was it Caitlin or Kaylin?
This is Caitlin.
Caitlin.
Kevin.
Kevin.
Sean. Steven.
Maybe they're tagging people.
No, I mean, maybe they tried to tag people, but
they
didn't.
Mount Rushmore?
This is their Mount Rushmore of Big Brother players. Yes, Caitlin, Kevin, Sean, and Steven. I was like, have we ever even seen a Steven play? Yeah,
Steven Daigle, the rodeo guy / porn star from Big Brother 10.
Yep. That was what Google told me. So I was like, oh, yes, that's right. There was a Steven. So I don't know if maybe they're just a connoisseur of porn. And they're like, yeah, Steven, let's bring him back.
Okay. So maybe Sean is the porn name of another Big Brother contestant that they're like, oh, I know them as, I don't know, Sean Big Balls. But on your screen, they're known as James Hewling.
Oh, my God. That would be his porn name. Okay.
Is Sean Big Balls, you think that's a good name?
Sean Big Balls? I don't know. I mean, that's like not my jam. Big Balls in particular. It's not like, oh, like that's what I'm searching for. But, you know, I'm sure there's some people that floats their boat. Good for them.
Yeah, I think it meets a very specific clientele.
Exactly. Okay. So that was only comment A.
Okay. We're off to a good start.
Okay. Comment B. I met Bronte once at a karaoke bar. I hope she gets to play.
I cannot imagine Bronte at a karaoke bar.
I don't want to. Would she announce that she's a math genius after every song? Like, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Would she pick only the songs that have numbers and then do incorrect calculation?
Right. Okay. C. OMG. ... They said legends. Thumbs up emoji. Then it says edit. Just saw Christmas is on this season. Mercy. Facepalm emoji.
Oh, Uncle Jesse is responding. I didn't know he was a Big Brother fan.
All right. And D. I would love to see Paul play again. And Derek. And honestly, Dan and Gina Marie.
Oh, one of those things is not like the other. I'm going to say you wrote D.
I did not write D. I wrote B, Bronte at a karaoke bar.
Wow. Man, Bronte, I should have known Bronte would never step foot in a karaoke bar. Nearly not enough science going on there.
This was like one of those Mad Libs where it was like, okay, I want to do a former Big Brother player in a weird location. That was what I came up with. All right. Well, let's see if the next question you can fare a little bit better on. This is also cast speculation. A, I really, really, really think that it's the Nolan twins' time to shine.
Oh, okay. Well, wait until you meet the Palumbo triplets person.
Yeah, we're going to one up that twist. All right. B, please don't let it be Frankie, Paul, Cody, Jessica, Pauline, Vanessa, Amanda, or McCray. C, is Connie Chung going to be on it?
Oh, no. Oh, that's bad on so many levels.
D, I better not see Paul. One pandemic at a time.
I think you wrote D.
I did not.
Why can't I keep going with D? That feels like a nice, like, Liana Boris zinger.
I'm definitely going to stick that one into my repertoire, my Rolodex of zingers, if you will.
One pandemic at a time. That feels like a good catchphrase.
Like, I bet, like, I can't see this person one pandemic at a time.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I wrote the Nolan twins one.
I was wondering, I was like, oh, did she write one that would just randomly mention people? Yes, of course. The Nolan twins, and unfortunately, is not their time to shine. Though I don't know which one is more, I guess Liz is the more likely one to come back of the two.
I guess so. I know they're both kind of, they pop up from time to time doing like acting things. So I think both of them are still like chilling in Hollywood. Although that was like 4 years ago now that I knew that. So who knows? Okay. So this category is all about nicknames.
Ooh.
A, hope that beard jersey isn't on.
Beard jersey?
Yep. B, impeach the pot banger.
Oh, okay.
C, no more Lil Poodle. D, would love to see a Where Are They Now? A 2-hour special. Big Brother, Where Are They Now? I'd love to know how Chicken George is. How about the twins that switched out each week? What about Cowboy? Is he still in Oklahoma? His biological sister who is in the house? Do they have a relationship? Etc., etc.
Ooh. I'm not going to go. I've been burned by D twice before, so I'm not going to go with D. Those are very specific call-outs, including Cowboy living in Oklahoma. I don't think... Did he live in Oklahoma?
I don't remember.
All right. As I look this up, I'll do some heavy thinking here. So we have beard jersey. Yeah. We have, what was B again?
Impeach the pot banger.
Yes. And then we had little poodle. Yes. Is it little or L-I apostrophe L?
It's just L-I-L, but the L is capitalized. The P is not capitalized.
So it's little poodle.
Little poodle.
Yeah, it's sort of like, yeah, that's where the emphasis is.
Of course.
I am going to go with, impeach the pot banger.
I wrote C.
I was thrown off by the type.
So that was a nickname for Puya that came from somewhere. It was created by Jordan Kalish and Ali Lasher. And to be honest, I can't really remember. But that was the inspiration for No More Lil Poodle.
I mean, listen, I'd like to see Lil Poodle play Big Brother one day.
That's right. Well, when they have the poodle season, after the Labrador Retriever season, yeah, then I think we'll see that happen.
When we have all dog stars, then Lil Poodle will really shine.
That's right. All right. Well, Mike, there's you still have a chance to get a greater than 50%.
All right.
So doing quite well.
And also, I looked it up. Actually, Cowboy does indeed live in Oklahoma. Okay, and honestly, the only two things I remember about Cowboy are Nokomis, it's Holly, and that one food competition where he had to dress up like a lime. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that. Oh my gosh. See, again, like the silliness that is Big Brother. Love to see it.
That's an image that'll be burned in my mind, because I think he like didn't wear any pants and he wore the lime costumes. It was just his pasty ass legs in a lime costume.
It was like, yeah, oh my gosh. I need to set. So currently your name is saved in my phone as Mike Jimble the Elf Bloom. And so now I think I need to add a profile picture for you. And I think that that's what it's going to be.
All right. Somebody find a picture, please, of Michael Cowboy Ellis dressed as the Lime in Big Brother 5.
I need this. Please. Okay, let's talk about now the Casuals did have some concerns over COVID. mm-hmm. And how the season was going to happen. And so they, of course, shared those thoughts on the Facebook page. So comment A, I hope they have to sit 6 feet apart at all times so they can't whisper, lol. B, we're all trapped in our houses. Why the heck would we want to watch a show about being trapped in a house?
Mm-hmm.
C, will Otev spit hand sanitizer at them this season? Or D, I feel like it's going to suck with them not all hanging out together.
Oh, that last one's like very sincere as opposed to like the jokiness. I'm going to say, see, A feels much more of like a Survivor comment than a Big Brother comment. But it also feels like, I don't know how much casuals are watching the live feeds to comment on the whispering. Because I mean, I think that is probably one of the biggest complaints about the live feeds, just how much whispering goes on. I feel like you did that. So I'm going to say that was A for you. You wrote A, Liana.
I wrote C, Otev spitting hand sanitizer at
Damn it.
Oh, so that was close. That's close. Good logic. Good logic.
Yeah, I do like that idea, though, of like, I don't know what it'll be like. Otev, the mask, the singing mask.
Yeah,
Otev, the rapping mask.
The rapping mask. Yeah. What would it say? I'm trying to think. So you remember that, like, but would it have like something like that that it would say?
Well, the thing is, it would be covered up. So it'd be like,
this guy kept his chances alive. He was evicted on day 35. Wicka, wicka, wicka.
And then it's got, yes, oh my gosh. And then, like, instead of the rock hands that one Otev had, it would be, like, two hands with spray bottle. Like,
and you had to squirt the hand sanitizer on it?
Like, yes, exactly.
I brought back David's hand sanitizer.
Squirt, squirt.
That is the wrong hand sanitizer.
See, yeah, call us. Look at all our great twist ideas. You're welcome. All right. So these are some other concerns that the casuals had in general for this Big Brother season. A, another BB question mark? Because we already have BB Nigeria.
Okay.
B, Don told me that there's a lot of controversy this year. C, I hope it's not a rerun. D, they better not bring back slop. Slop is for horses.
I did not think they'd say horses there. Slop is for a horse.
Slop is for horses.
Okay, so we got Big Brother Nigeria. We've got Dawn, whoever she is, told them about drama. We've got slop is for whores. And what was C?
C was, I hope it's not a rerun.
Ooh, I'm going to say you wrote, slop is for horses.
I did. Ding, ding,
yes,
ding.
I
You're
got something right.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Yes, I did write slop is for horses, which is, again, another one of those like aardvarks. No, that's too specific. Mike will know it's me.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, that's more like, I feel like the phrase is more so hay is for horses.
Yes.
And I also don't think, I mean, I guess horses do eat oats, but I didn't think they'd eat like slop.
What else is in slop? Didn't they publish the recipe for slop? I feel like Rob made it once.
Yeah, he did. I think it's got like protein powder in it, like... I think it probably does have oats in it, because I think they're able to like bake it. So I can imagine it has like an oat like consistency.
Yeah, I think it's like mostly oats, right? Because it is oatmeal esque. But
I don't know. I've been trying to bide my time trying to find this picture of cowboy in the lion costume. I can't find it.
All right. Well, I'm sure someone will find it.
Okay, here I found something on Chowhound. Steel oats, whey protein isolate, soy protein, vitamin and mineral powder, and 12 cups of water.
Oh, okay, good. Well, you know, that's good to know in case I ever decide to make slop, although it is for horses, so I'm not sure how I
listen,
feel about
unless
that.
You're running the Kentucky Derby anytime soon.
That's right. Not me. I got my big floppy hat, but no.
Well, that's
no,
you borrowed that from Cereo?
I did.
Swashbuckler.
Swashbuckling hat. And his eye patch, because he's now turned into a pirate for me. Yeah. All right, all right. like I said, the casuals were pretty excited about a season of Big Brother coming back. And so this next set of comments were all about just that general excitement and what they're most excited about. All right. So A, woohoo! I have been spending entirely too much time on TikTok. B, so excited I can quit watching HGTV.
What? Big Brother, just so we're clear, Big Brother's not asking you to like quit other things you're watching to invest in it.
I love this one so much because I like no one's for this is not Clockwork Orange. Like no one is forcing you to watch HGTV. Like
finally, I can unstrap myself from my chair.
Oh, thank God. Thank God. All right. See. Oh, thank God. I don't have to be at family dinner anymore. D. Just put cameras in our house. You'll be entertained.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's the way you delivered it, but it sounded very seductive. Like, hey, film me doing stuff.
Yeah, that was entirely the emphasis by reader.
All right, so we have film me being sexy. We have too much TikTok, too much HGTV, and ditching family dinner.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Well, I hope you would not want to shirk family responsibilities. I'm going to say you wrote A. I'm going to say you wrote that this person will now no longer need to be on TikTok because they can watch the live feeds.
That is a real person, which I do feel for. No, I did write, thank God, I don't have to be at family dinner anymore.
I wonder, like, so I guess TikTok and Big Brother are like direct substitutes of one another in terms of time wasters?
I guess so. I didn't quite. I mean, I also wouldn't think that HGTV and Big Brother would be interchangeable. I mean, but
they both involve a house. Just one involves the inside that never changes for 100 days.
Right. Or others that are, you know, being property brothered or whatnot. Yes. So I don't quite get the association, but good for those people. They'll be able to finally quit doing the things that they've apparently been stuck doing. Okay, Mike, final question. These are also about general excitement for the season. A. This is in all caps. Okay, on my way back to Japan to watch with you.
Watch with who?
You.
Oh, with me? I'm not. Well, sorry to tell you, mystery person, I am not in Japan.
Okay. B, call me a biscuit and butter my buns.
Oh, no and no. Is that an offer or is this like HGTV? Do I have to?
I don't know. C, well, cut my legs and call me shorty.
Oh, no.
Or D, thank the sweet babies alive. We will have a BB.
Oh, thank the sweet babies alive. They didn't do anything.
I don't know.
Next time I see Asher, I'll thank him personally for bringing up Big Brother. Okay, so we have apparently the talking rapping mask saying, please wait until I go back into Japan to watch Big Brother, almost like a threat. We have butter my biscuits. We have cut my legs off.
So that's what they call me, shorty.
If you didn't just say C, I was gonna say C because that does sound like a Liana catchphrase. But I think you went with something similar. Like you wanted to go with a similar, like, well, blank my blank and call me blank. I'm gonna say you went with butter my biscuit and put butter on my buns or whatever you said.
Call me a biscuit and butter my buns. Yes, that was me. Although credit goes to my mother. She said it to me once and I remember thinking, what the hell did you just say? And then I made Puya write it down because I was like, I will need this at one point in my life.
Oh,
and
when my God.
I was like, Puya, did you write that thing down that my mom said that one time when she was excited about something? Thankfully,
wow.
He did have it.
Slumdog so. Millionaired it. Wait, so really? Someone legitimately wrote, cut off my legs and call me shorty?
Cut my legs and call me Shorty. About time.
Well, like, is this supposed to be like something you want to be done to you? Or is it like, I'm in so disbelief?
I have no idea. I think it's in disbelief. It's like an excited thing. I mean, that's the category that I put it under.
I'm so intrigued by this. It's so confused.
I mean, I don't know. Am I like, should I use this? Do I just bury this away in my brain and forget that it ever entered? Like, I don't know what to do with this phrase.
I want it to be like, I think if you're trying to be like hysterically intense about a situation, you'd be like, well, cut off my legs and call me Shorty.
So so it's not like a happy thing.
No, I think it is like a happy thing. But if you're like over exuberantly happy about something, that you could like explode.
I mean, I think that that's what this person was going for. They were just so excited, especially the well period. Cut my legs and call me Shorty.
Do you think that maybe this is the person that, like, you know, the one that's flying back from Japan? They're so excited to go to this watch party, and they'll find out that the other person cut their legs off. Is it sort of like a Gift of the Magi situation where it's like, I flew all this way to Japan to see you and you cut your legs off? You know, that popular Christmas hit.
No, to the sweet babies alive.
Oh, I bought you these shoes and I bought you tickets to anywhere but Japan.
This is all TikTok's fault or HGTV.
I know, I was too busy watching HGTV.
Oh no. Oh, this is so terrible. We already had BB Nigeria. We didn't need this.
Oh, damn it. I got to go back to TikTok. Butter my biscuits.
That's right. No, what is salt my biscuits? What's the negative version of that?
Yeah, I guess, I don't know, crumble my biscuits. Nobody wants a crumbly biscuit.
Crumble my biscuits and salt my buns.
Is this like the way you destroy a biscuit so that nobody can enjoy it?
Yes, exactly. Well, that's what they say. If you ever, like, you have to return your food for some reason at a restaurant, overly salt it, so then that way you know if it's the exact same food. It's the same thing.
So that's what if you're the exact opposite of buttering a biscuit is sending it back to the kitchen overly salted so you're not sent back the same biscuit.
Honestly, I have no idea. I've never sent back food in my entire life, but I assume yes, those two things are the diametrically opposed situation.
That makes sense to me. It makes sense to me. No need to cut off my legs on this one.
That's right. All right. Well, congratulations. I guess I don't really know. You got two of them correct.
Okay, that's better than zero or one.
That's right. Which we could have, our cast could be zero or two or one out of the people we think. But you know what? Who cares? Because I had a great time.
I was so happy to check in with the casuals here. And just a bit of a teaser. I know we're going to save plugs for a few minutes from now. But Liana, you know, we have been living amongst the casuals for so many years. And for this special season, I'm going to be doing something special. I'm going to be doing a casual cast assessment of this prospective cast of Big Brother 21. It's going to be featuring people you know. I'm going to be talking with Nick Yadanza from Australian Survivor, Shannon Gus from RHAP and Survivor Expert, and Bryce Isaiah from the Purple Pants podcast. And essentially, it's going to be a bit of a game. I'm going to show them a picture of a house guest. And they're gonna analyze them for me, not knowing who they are whatsoever and why they're on a season called Big Brother All-Stars. But let's see how close they get. For the first time, Liana, we are doing a casuals cast assessment coming to your feed soon on RHAP.
Oh my gosh, I'm really, really looking forward to this. That nothing warms my heart more than people making judgment calls based on so little information. I can't wait to hear it.
I mean, listen, we're only doing like one more degree above that at this point, especially considering, once again, the cast is nowhere confirmed.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Like, hey, you know, those in glass houses shouldn't throw stones.
That's true.
Yes. And I'm throwing all the stones, baby.
Make a reference to a Big Brother like show that got sued for being too much like Big Brother.
Yeah. Bring that back. Hey, maybe that's what Ian Terry can go on next.
Yeah, exactly. Though I feel like it'd get very, I don't know. I don't think it was a literal glass house. Otherwise, it would get very hot.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, glass house effect is real, baby.
All right. Well, we're going to finish things off. Something we've been doing newly instituted on our Survivor rewatch on the RHAP B&B this summer is, you know, there's a lot of silliness and fun stuff going on this summer, especially with Big Brother 22 around the corner. But we also know it's a very important time for a lot of causes. So we figured every week on the B&B, we would go to our charity corner, unlike the breakfast nook that Janelle and Kacer and the Palumbo triplets are sitting at eating cereal. And we'd highlight, you know, a cause for that week that we felt was meaningful for people to donate to. And Liana, I know you had one in particular in mind for the couple of B&B podcasts we're doing this week.
Ah, yes. Okay. So we are going to be doing this for all of the podcasts this week. I might plug a different one on. I've been doing this on Drag Race too. Anyway, but not important. But yes, the charity that we're going to be doing this week is the Natural Resources Defense Council. So this was an idea that I had based on the Survivor episode, because they talk about banana etiquette. And I was like, what's similar to bananas? Nature in general. But my stupid reasoning shouldn't take away from all the great work that they're doing. And essentially what they do is just a lot of work to safeguard the earth. So whether it be climate change or animal protection, all of those different things they work on. And so if you want to donate to them, you go to nrdc.org. And then there's a big orange donate button. Well, I wonder what that would be like, a donut button where you get a donut if you hit it.
Yeah, I guess that would be, or it's just a picture of a donut that you press and there's no prize, but just the satisfaction that you did something good.
Well, you can have the satisfaction of doing something good. You donate today. So again, that is nrdc.org. Big orange donut button up in the top right corner, because this is the earth that we have right now. And this is the earth that we're going to give to our descendants, the twins, the triplets, all of them need a better earth to live in. Our clown descendants need to be safe and live on a healthy earth. And so the NRDC helps to do that.
Yeah, it's almost like it's going to be a weird comparison, but, you know, we are all living in one house in a manner of speaking, right? Much like on Big Brother. And we always, you know, chastise the house guests for leaving things messy, letting ants get everywhere, and in general, just leaving it an absolute waste. And that has been done to our earth in many respects. And I think the work that this particular cause does, donut button included, helps clean up the house in a manner of speaking to make sure that people can live in it for years and years to come.
Exactly. And so we all have to do our part, and they're doing some really great work to help ensure that we can all live in this house and be healthy and happy.
Well, I am so excited, Liana, to be talking about a very different house coming in just a few days. And I'm so excited to be talking about it through the lens of the RHAP B&B. I mean, look, if our Survivor podcasts are of any concern, but if it comes to, like, what do we talk about this week, we could come up with so much tangential stuff. We can look to eBay again. We can go to Big Brother fan fiction again. The Big Brother world is a well that needs to be properly pumped by the B&B. And by God, we're going to do it this season. And I am so excited that, A, this season is coming, and B, you know, I know you're probably going to be on the live feed updates as well, but we're going to get to talk about it through the lens, through a very silly show, through a very silly podcast.
As much as I love Taryn, he does have a tendency to approach Big Brother from a very strategic perspective, which I think is a super valid one, super fun. Another one of the reasons why I love Big Brother so much is because I think as a game, to me, it's more interesting than, say, like Survivor, just because of the way that the dynamics work. But my favorite part about Big Brother is the absolute insanity, the Zingbot saga, the houseguestsonly.com, just all of the craziness that we see with Big Brother. And I'm so excited, Mike, to be talking about this with you, especially because we've never done Big Brother weekly for the B&B. This is going to be our first time doing it. And you best believe, cut my legs and call me shorty, because I am excited.
Consider our biscuits buttered, not salted. About this season. So yeah, we're gonna have guests TBD, including, we don't know who's coming back next week, but we'll certainly have some people in our doors each and every week. That being said, we would love to hear from you all. If you have any suggestions as to games we should be playing, whether about the Big Brother week or about Big Brother in general, please, you can tweet them to us using the hashtag RHAPBNB. That's RHAP, the letter B, the letter N, the letter B. Or you can email us, RHAPBNB@gmail.com. Literally, send us everything and anything. Even if it's just like an idiom game of, is this a thing that people say or not? As we've talked about, that is a very rife ground to plant seeds in. So we can certainly do that. And who knows how many weeks we have to talk about. People are alleging that it's going to end in late October, but who truly knows? We are flying blind here, but I could not have a better co-pilot. Liana, what other vehicles are you driving, in a manner of speaking, podcast-wise, on RHAP right now?
Well, of course, we are doing the RHAP BNB for Survivor. So yeah. Now look at us. We've got two franchises. We're really just branding, moving along. So we're doing that. We're recording to cover... See, we just did Micronesia and the Effing Stick episode. And then coming up, we're going to be doing Heroes, Villains, and of course, the infamous, I don't even know, like Double Idol episode with the merge. So fun. So look out for that. That'll be coming up soon. And then we talked about this, but the Big Brother podcast, preview podcast that Rob's doing, I talked about Cody Calafiore, who was, believe it or not, my top choice of people to talk about. I was like, I want someone so dumb, not dumb. Cody's not dumb, but like I wanted someone low stakes because, you know, like, oh my gosh, like Janelle and Ian and Danny and people who are like super fans. I'm like, you know what? Give me a Calafiore.
Well, listen, I'm with you. I'm doing Christmas / Amber, so I'm all in with you.
Yes. Oh my God, Mike, this is why we're co-hosts. We like have the same idea of like dumbness. We're like, no, don't give me someone serious. Okay. I'm just here to chill. And then what else? Oh yes. So Puya Zamfakili is doing 90 Day Fiancé coverage for RHAP. It's going to have its own feed, all that jazz. He's going to do like a weekly recap podcast where it's like this week in 90 Day Fiancé. But for the first week, because there's two series that are going on right now, I joined him as a guest on one of those talking about Happily Ever After. So that should be out now. And I believe the other one about The Other Way just dropped. So if you're a 90 Day Fiancé fan, RHAP is now doing weekly coverage. Check that out. It'll be in the reality TV or Happups feed until its own feed gets started, but that should be out soon.
It's so interesting. You know, I think we had like a momentary spell with nary a drink of water on the reality TV front, to the point where they were doing these rewatches and Tough as Nails coverage and stuff. And now we're just like getting a flood between Big Brother and now this new 90 Day Fiancé coverage. It's a great time to be a reality TV fan. Speaking of Tough as Nails, we are halfway through the series, and myself, Rob, and Jessica Lease were joined once again by showrunner and creator and host Phil Kogan, who quizzed us on some New Zealand slang / phraseology. It was like, I felt like I was in the B&B within another podcast. It was incredible, so be sure to check that out. Of course, doing Down the Hatch on post-show recaps, as well as Beyond Top Chef here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups. And I mentioned the casual cast assessment. Not sure when that's going to be coming to your feeds, but I would imagine some point before Wednesday. We're recording that on a Saturday night, so TBD. We might get some video on that as well. Again, another TBD, much like this entire season. And hopefully at parade.com, I'll be able to do some coverage of Big Brother 22. Fingers crossed, I'll be doing exit press like I have been the past few seasons. Or if not, maybe some special coverage in general as we move into a very special season. That's going to do it for this week here on the B&B. We are going to be back here next week talking Survivor, but also Big Brother in two separate podcasts. We're going to cover week one, though I guess, I don't know, we'll talk about a recording schedule. If we're aiming to record this on the weekend, it might end up just being like a post-premiere podcast, or maybe we'll skip a week and wait until the first eviction has actually passed, since, you know, we're getting the premiere on Wednesday, and then I think not another episode until Sunday. So TBD. But one's coming your way at some point in the next couple of weeks. Again, send us games, RHAPBNB@gmail.com. Oh, I'm so excited to be back covering Big Brother, and I'm so excited to have you here, Liana. Special thanks to Scott St. Pierre for editing everything behind the scenes, and Wolf from America for our fantastic theme song. Cannot wait to keep humming it through the end of the year. Thank you all so much for listening. We're going to be back when the whole kitten caboodle begins. But until then, we'll check you out at your next stay.
Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool. I can tell you the names. The R-H-A-P-B-M-B. Mike and Leona, yeah, they're playing some games. And I pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the names.